Hey guys, welcome to the homestead. What if tomorrow you had no refrigeration? Could you survive? Hey guys, welcome back. We are in winter time. Temperatures are starting to drop. We're probably going to get our first snow flurries coming up here in the next day or so. And I got a woodshed full of wood behind me. That's a good thing to have when winter approaches. Nice toasty wood stoves that you can huddle around during the winter time. But what would you do if you had no refrigeration? How would you be able to deal with that? People have existed for thousands of years without refrigeration. In fact, it was just not that long ago that refrigeration was invented. So what did people do? There's a number of things that you can utilize that people in the past have utilized and ways of thinking that they have had that allowed them to survive without refrigeration. So we're going to look at 10 things today, 10 things that would allow you, 10 ways, 10 ideas that would allow you to live and survive without refrigeration. We have no refrigeration here on this homestead, never have, probably never will, but we're going to show you how we do it. How do we keep things cool? How do we keep food cool? How others have kept things and food cool in order to survive. So let's get started with number one. One of the things people have done in the past is make an ice house. That was one of our ideas we had thought about, you know, when we first moved here, was building an ice house. But after weighing all of our options and seeing how other people fared with it, we decided that that might not be the best thing for us. We are way far south. I mean, we could. People have in the past in this area built out ice houses. However, it's kind of a struggle. And so we decided, because of our location and some of the other things involved, we weren't going to build an ice house. But that is your number one thing. A lot of people, especially throughout the upper Midwest, it was very common to have an ice house that you could freeze blocks of ice throughout the wintertime and then save those, insulate those, and use them throughout the rest of the year during the warmer times of the seasons, and use that to keep things, food items, and other things cold. So an ice house, let's list that as number one. But what about number two? The second thing a lot of people used to do, and this is something we utilized, was actually put food and food items down a well. A deep well, especially where the water will be cold, usually about 55, 60 degrees year round. And so this is a 19th century well, dug back around the time of the 1850s, and it's got water in it just a few feet from the top all year usually. And what we did when we first moved here, we kept butter and cheese and some other items in glass jars and in metal baskets down into that well, and then we would lower them down with these ropes, and then we had these little floaties on the top. And so just in case the ropes ever became dislodged and fell down, it would keep the top of the rope floating up at the top of the surface of the water so we could always retrieve it. And so that was a way we kept items cold. Again, normally cheeses and butters, things like that, we didn't have room for in a small cooler because we only kept certain like leftovers and other items in those coolers. And so we would keep them down in the bottom of this well. A well is a great option, at least a temporary option in our case, to keep items cold. And so that's what we did, down a well. Option number three is a root cellar. So what we're doing right now is building a root cellar. We're in the process of digging out the hole. We have poured the footers. The concrete blocks have been stacked. And now we're waiting for some warmer days so we can get this filled with concrete. All the cores of the block will be filled with concrete. The top roof is about ready to be poured. There's a bunch of rebar up there. And so we're going to build a root cellar. And then we'll have drainage and everything else that comes out from here to draw any water that may gather inside down the hill a little bit towards the well house that I just showed you. And then from that, it empties on into a pond, which empties into like a holler that goes down to a creek towards the bottom of the mountain. So this is in the process of being built. And people all around our country had root cellars. Even in the cities back in the day, they had root cellars to keep their produce cold, to keep things cooler at a cooler temperature, wine, cheeses, charcuterie, meaning salami and things like that. They all needed a right temperature and the right humidity in order to stay good for long-term storage. That's what root cellars provided. And so if you have a root cellar, that's a great tool you can use to keep things that you would normally put in a refrigerator. It doesn't keep it as cool as a refrigerator would, but it keeps them at a temperature level and a humidity level that would make their make those food items last much, much longer. So, number three is a root cellar. For those of you wanting more information on our root cellar, we're gonna be interviewing the guy who's actually building that. He's my neighbor. So stay tuned for that. We'll have some more information coming up on that. And we're doing a series of root cellar videos as this thing is built. We've done two so far. The third one will be coming out shortly. So check out our playlist for more information on how we're building our root cellar. For option number four on the 10 ways you could live without refrigeration, people, now this may come to a shock to a lot of people, but you can eat your leftovers. I know a lot of people who will not, or their kids will not eat leftovers. You must, people back in the day would eat their leftovers. And to be honest with you, you didn't need, you know, super cold refrigeration for leftovers that were only a day old. It's completely acceptable for you to take your leftovers, put them in a hole or maybe a root cellar and just let them stay there for a day in order to stay sort of cool. And they're perfectly fine to eat the next day. But I know people who will not eat, even out of a refrigerator, will not eat leftovers that are just even a few hours old. Folks, people used to eat their leftovers. You go through the trouble of preparing a meal. If there are leftovers to eat them the next day. That gets rid of the point or the need of a refrigerator. Some people say, well, I have to have a refrigerator. What are you gonna do with leftovers? Your leftovers will be fine if you eat them the next day. Even without any refrigeration or cooling at all, they'll be fine for one day. We are so spoiled Americans today. You ask anyone who has lived overseas in a third world country, if there are leftovers, it's okay to eat them one day later. Totally fine. Number four, eat your leftovers. So one of the things we use for our refrigeration is a cooler. And it's a good cooler, not one of those cheap Coleman coolers that you buy at the store. I'm talking like a Yeti style cooler, but not using a Yeti name brand. The Yeti name brand is very, very overpriced. You're paying for the name. But there are Yeti knockoffs or Yeti type coolers that are awesome coolers that will keep ice for as long as 10 days inside them. We use coolers like this at our homes, and we switch out blocks. So we have a solar powered freezer. We'll get to that in a minute. And my children, that's part of their chores, is to switch out the blocks of ice that are frozen by that solar powered freezer. And they put those in the coolers and we have refrigeration. And that ice will stay there, especially in the wintertime, for well, well over a week, no problem whatsoever. We try to switch them out every 2 or 3 days or so, maybe 4 days. But it does a great job. They're very efficient in keeping food cold. And so the food that we do keep cold, the food items that we have, if we have leftovers that are gonna be there for a few days, we'll put them in a cooler like this, and we have ice blocks that we use to switch out and keep things cool. So invest in a very good cooler, a Yeti style type cooler. You don't have to spend the money on the Yeti, but there are good coolers out there that will allow you to keep your food cool for a long period of time, and they'll hold ice for a long period of time. So that's number five. When it comes to all the ways you can live without refrigeration, number six is to learn to eat seasonally. Learning to eat seasonally. This is something that is completely foreign to most people today. If you go into your grocery store in January, when it's cold like this, it's actually December now, and you look for a tomato, you're gonna find a bright red, juicy looking tomato that was grown in Brazil. Okay, that did not used to be the case. That did not used to happen. People back then would eat fermented foods. They would learn to eat seasonally. If you could not get it. You could not go into a grocery store 100 years ago and buy tomatoes grown in Brazil or Mexico or wherever. You just couldn't do it. So that you learn to eat seasonally. You would learn to can, you would learn to ferment, you would learn to cure, you would learn to use different types of fermentation, whether it was alcohol or sugar-based fermentations or some kind of fermentation, to be able to preserve your foods, to enact a natural preservative. You know, fruit, you would use alcohol. Alcohol was the preservative. Different types of fermentation when it comes to vegetables, all kinds of ways. Curing salts, smoking. There's all kinds of ways they would use. But see, this was all done seasonally. You didn't do them year round. You butchered your animals in the wintertime because it was easier to keep them and cure them and preserve the meat. So learn to eat seasonally. I think that's, if we have learned to do that. Off-grid, you know, we have learned there are certain foods you eat at certain times of the year. And there are certain foods that you don't eat these times of the year. Can you go to the store and buy them any time of the year? Yes, absolutely you can do that. But what if you couldn't? All of a sudden tomorrow, you can't buy chicken wings at the store. I like going to the store and buying chicken wings. Year round, I like doing that. It's one of my weaknesses. But what if I couldn't do it anymore? What if I couldn't go to the store and buy a jar of salsa in the middle of the winter? Well, it was during the summer that you preserved all of the ingredients to make your salsa and that you canned them. Do you understand? Sometimes you just can't have everything you want in life. So learn to eat seasonally. That's number six. Speaking about eating seasonally, when it comes to meat, you eat that at a seasonal time as well. Right behind me, you have one of my fields, and in this field, I have killed lots of deer throughout the year, and we do that in the fall. Meat was usually butchered in the fall. Why? Because in the summertime, there's too many flies, it's too warm, it'll spoil rapidly, and so you have to eat meat in the winter time, in the fall time, in the early spring. That's why we had those worldwide festivals called Carnival. It means farewell to meat. It's held in the springtime because in the springtime, there's no more butchering of meat. Meaning that when you are harvesting livestock, butchering livestock, harvesting deer, you're taking this and you're curing it and you're canning it. And you're preserving it in a way that you can use throughout the rest of the year. Just like they did 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, they would cure, smoke, and today we can meats so that we can use them throughout the rest of the year. You don't have to buy meat. I mean, I like going to the store and buying my chicken wings, but you don't have to do that. You can harvest your meat, you can grow livestock, you butcher in the wintertime, in the fall, in the spring, and then use that throughout the rest of the year when you're eating your other seasonal items. So, you don't need refrigeration for cured, preserved, smoked meat. So that's one other way you can live without refrigeration. Number eight, I think we need to learn what, or say relearn what will spoil. We have forgotten, it's another thing that we have forgotten today, what things will spoil. We put everything in the refrigerator. Do we really need to do that? Eggs. You know, if you get an egg right out of the coop and you put it on your kitchen counter and you don't refrigerate it, it won't spoil. Eggs, we keep all of our eggs on the kitchen counter in a little basket, and when we're ready to use them, we pick out which ones we want and then we use them. We make whatever egg we're going to make with the eggs. But they won't spoil. If you wash the egg and you refrigerate it and you take it out of the refrigerator, it will spoil. If you buy the eggs that have been washed and cleaned, and you buy the ones at the store and you take those home and you don't refrigerate them, they will spoil. But eggs, when they come out of the coop, they won't spoil. Things like butter. You can keep butter on your counter for days as you're using it and it won't spoil. Things like jam. If you're using it constantly, it'll be gone before it spoils. You have a jar of jam, it'll be gone before it spoils if you're using it. Things like vinaigrette dressing or hot sauce, things that are based in vinegar, they won't spoil. Most of your condiments will not spoil. There's enough preservatives, either it be sugar or vinegar or other things, they won't spoil. Soy sauce. You go into like almost any Chinese restaurant in America and they have the soy sauce that sits constantly on the table all day long. But Americans, they go home and they put their soy sauce in the refrigerator. I don't get that. Most condiments, a lot of them, will not spoil. They're built with preservatives, natural preservatives. Today, most of the preservatives are chemicals. But most condiments, like vinegar, and you know, they contain things like vinegar and salt and sugar, they're not going to spoil, at least quickly. You can use those on a constant basis and they'll be okay. So we need to relearn what will spoil. Every Thursday, I get 2 gallons of fresh milk delivered to the homestead. I take those 2 gallons, sometimes more, and I make cheese and butter out of those 2 gallons. You see, milk kept in the refrigerator, fresh raw milk, it'll keep for a while, but it won't keep near as long as cheese and butter will. And so you can take your things like milk, something that has a limited shelf life, even when it's cold, and make it into something that actually has an extended shelf life. Cheese will last much longer than milk. Butter will last much longer than milk. And so that's what our ancestors used to do. They'd think they knew this stuff, and they would go ahead and take the things that they had and convert it into something else that lasted longer. You take meat, which won't last that long if it's cold even, and you cure it. You change it. You change the structure of it. and then it, or you smoke it, and it allows it to last much longer. You take fruit and you use an alcohol preservative and it lasts much longer. You take milk and you convert it to cheese or butter with an enzyme that's found in baby lambs or baby cows, and it lasts much longer. That's the rennet, thing called rennet. We're gonna do a video coming up on how to make rennet from a baby lamb, so stay tuned for that. So you take the things you have, and then you use those, you change them into something that will last much longer. That's how our ancestors would take the items that they had, were blessed with, that they grew, that they raised, and made them stretch out for longer periods of time. And they did it without refrigeration. You can take a block of cheese and put it in a root cellar, and it'll age and cure in that root cellar, and it can be there for years sometimes, you know, months for sure. You don't need a refrigerator for that. Same thing with cheese and butter. So cheese and butter, take something like milk and find out a way to extend its lifespan. That's what we do, that's number 9. Okay, so now we're at number 10. There's lots of ways you can live without refrigeration, okay? But the last thing I wanna show you is more of a modern convenience. This is our solar powered freezer. And so we have solar panels and a battery bank that keep this freezer powered up throughout the year. And for some reason we have cloudy days like right now, I don't know if you can hear it or not, but there's a little bit of drizzle and rain coming down on the tin roof that's above me. And so there's no sun outside. And so at certain times throughout the day, we may run the generator to make sure our battery bank does not go down too far. But we have a solar powered freezer that battery bank utilizes, or is utilized by that battery bank to keep things frozen. And inside here, we have some frozen foods. We have some ice blocks that the boys, like I mentioned before, is part of their chores to switch out the ice blocks so that our coolers have, you know, the cool temperatures they need to keep some things cool that we want. So this is our solar powered freezer. It's just one of the ways that modern homesteaders are living without refrigeration. I'm not the only one who has something like this. You'll see a lot of people on YouTube, these off-grid homesteaders who have something just like this, a solar powered freezer. Keep in mind that it's heating elements that use the majority of your electric power. A solar powered freezer does not use a lot of electrical power, so it's very easy to be utilized in a solar system, off-grid solar system. All right, that's number 10. Well, there you go, guys. There's 10 ways people in the past and today have lived without refrigeration. Are you utilizing any of these methods? If so, leave a comment below. Let me know what you're utilizing. If I've missed anything that you'd like to recommend, please leave a comment below and let me know about that as well. You may help someone else who is looking for alternatives and methods to live without refrigeration. So, all right, before you go, make sure you hit that like button. Check out our merchandise at teespring.com. We really appreciate you guys who buy our merch. And check out the sponsor at the end of the video. We'll really appreciate if you did that too. All right, guys, see you next time on The Homestead. Bye. Hit that like button. Hey, guys, we know that a lot of our audience are homeschoolers. Homeschooling here is very important to us. And if you're like us, maybe you've had a hard time training your youngsters to memorize their times tables. Well, I want to introduce you to a program today that I think will help with that. This is Times Tales. It's perfect for small children. At age 7, my youngest son has his multiplication tables memorized, all of them. Times Tales is a series of stories that your child learns in a video. The video presents a simple story that your child can easily recall from memory and assist them in easily remembering the multiplication facts. My late wife Jamie made a video talking about how our oldest child still was having problems with times table memorization. Until we tried Times Tales. After months of getting behind and stressful struggling, Times Tales was almost an overnight correction and allowed him to get back on track with his math courses. So I want you to give this a try. They have different packages available, and there's going to be a link in the description below. Every purchase you make from this program is going to help the homestead. Give it a try. It worked for us. I'm sure it can work for you and your child too.
I know my math facts.
Hey there, thanks for watching our channel. If you're looking for great off-grid homesteading videos, this is the channel for you. Hit that subscribe button and be sure to like the video you just watched. You can also feel free to send us your questions by going to anamericanhomestead.com on our contact page and send me your question. Your question might get made into a video. In the meantime, check out some of these other great videos. Oh wait, go ahead and click them. Go ahead.